Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get
beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Welcome to it, the Friday edition, Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, HaleVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore will be back with you next week. A lot of recruiting on the docket. We will talk about who's on their way to Friday Night Lights. Some of the impact, some of the names. Kind of hedge our bets on the Josh Moore decision this weekend. So a slew of recruiting in hour one. The Pride of Fairbury in NBC Sports. Bill Dolman in 15 minutes. Get caught up with Billy D. Some thoughts on Coach Rick Pitino. You're like, well, why? You may have read what he said about the NCAA's decision to tase Louisville repeatedly. You read it. You'll get to hear it. The angst in his voice is hilarious. In hour two, we'll talk a little Cubs baseball. Author Gary Cohen will join us, and he was part of the official Chicago Cubs storytellers that did their book, Fly the W. And his coffee table book is incredible. It's about the 16 championship. And Gary Cohen will be with us in an hour. Cedric Golden from our chat with him on a lot of things in the world of sports and recruiting in hour two. And then the Friday forecast. Can join us today on Hale Varsity Radio. Tap the line. Schillingbridge Cork and Tap House. 466-3776. 466-3776. 1-800-825. 5865 on Twitter at Hale Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at TJ underscore Henning. Always to get in touch with us. The giveaway in about an hour and 15 minutes. The Smoker, the Smoking Hot Dad promotion. We've just been super excited. So many have registered and qualified. We'll give away that second smoker today after we get done talking to Gary Cohen around 5:20 or so. So be listening. Hear and listen for your name and kind of control what you can control. That is, be caller 9 when you hear the cue to call this hour. 2, think good, happy thoughts that your name is drawn by TJ Henning when it comes to the Southern County Stainless Steel Smoker. That giveaway in 1 hour. Also, Leon's Gourmet Grocer, a $250 gift card. And how about a gift basket from Leon's? Spices, rubs, wood chips, wood planks, and a steak certificate. So that smoker will be given away at 5:20 tonight. TJ, what do you know? How are you?
I'm good, man. Plus, we also have a family 4-pack VIP to Salt Dogs for Monday that we will give away as well.
Okay, there we have it. So there's the bribery portion of Friday. So Friday Night Lights, Fan Fest going on, 5 to 7 tonight. Big Red Weekend all weekend. And good stuff on HaleVarsity.com. If you aren't a member of HaleVarsity.com, you're invited to do the 30-day free trial offer, HaleVarsity.com/subscribe, and get on the recruiting train this weekend. But listen, this weekend is not as pumped up from a name standpoint, and that's not a knock on who's visiting. But next week is kind of the big fish. Already a number of verbal commits for the 18 class will be here next week. Some skill guys they're working on getting here. And that'll be the showcase when you look at running backs or corners or wideouts. Next week is going to be the weekend. This weekend, it's more about some of the Midwest kids. And really the two things you're kind of concentrating and focusing on this weekend for Nebraska. Two names. One, Max Dugan, Council Bluffs quarterback, 2019 prospect. Nebraska is a recent offer to him. We've spoken about that, what, a week ago, week and a half ago, with Max Dugan, Council Bluffs product. Listen, Nebraska is going to have a chance this weekend to spend some time with him. They've already kind of profiled and scouted him, so they like him. But if he's a guy that has grown up, has grown up an Iowa fan, the more time he can spend on Big Red soil with Danny Langsdorf and Coach Riley, the better. What's going to happen with Nebraska quarterback? I mean, they have moved on, and they've had some of their kids they've offered already commit. But they always have another guy, and don't take this as second choice, but in a kind of a contingency, a talent line of contingency. And I look at Max Duggan as one of those guys. He's going to be He's here. I mean, he's checking things out this weekend for Big Red Weekend. So that's one thing to keep an eye on and listen for. And you want a quarterback in 2019, especially if you don't have one in 2018. So Nebraska will have a chance to sit down, spend some time, talk some football, enjoy the festivities with a target in their own backyard this weekend. That is good. Other thing you're cranked up about this weekend, Joshua Moore. The wideout, the talent from Yoakum, the former IMG student that's now back. He makes his decision via Twitter yesterday, 3 p.m. on Sunday. This guy has got separation speed. He has size. He has hops. He has hands. He's physical. I mean, go down the list of things you want in a big-bodied wideout that can run. And Nebraska's been searching for that. We've documented and you've read 50-plus offers. I mean, the world of college football wants him. And Nebraska made the final three. And it is between A&M, it's between Nebraska, it's between Florida State. Who wins out on Sunday? So A&M's supposed to have their barbecue this weekend. I'm betting it's pretty nice barbecue. Here's what I wonder. From a timing of everything, if Moore is making his announcement Sunday and he is not at camp this weekend, but he's going to be down in Texas this weekend. Can Nebraska hang on? Can they get him? Many, many, many recruiting experts are pegging Nebraska to be the team. Now, that's who's going to win the battle, who's going to win the war. The short-term battle is to get his commitment on commitment day, which is Sunday, his verbal. Can you hang on to him if you do get it to the early signing period?
And he is scheduled for the next Friday Night Lights, correct?
He is.
So one would think maybe he'd be leaning towards Nebraska.
Right. But isn't he supposed to be at A&M this weekend?
I think so.
Right? I mean, he's at that Aggie barbecue. Can you roll up, smile at the A&M folks, say, I need some more coleslaw, please. And then at 3 o'clock, you know, break out your red. Maybe you can go cold-blooded. Maybe you can do that.
I think he could, yeah.
He could. But it just seems like pretty gutsy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's his area. That's Yoakum.
Well, and it's also this generation. I was watching some kind of video, and I saw a kid, you know, I'm going to go to that university when I can be the man, not when some other star recruit is going there. So, obviously, the kids love the attention. So, I could see something
you
like
think,
that.
You think? Yeah. Are you not worn out to a nub? I am with wide receiver diviness.
Oh, for sure.
I'm freaking over it. But we got to talk about it, and imagining him catching footballs for Nebraska would be big for Nebraska fans. If I'm him, here's what I know. I know that Sumlin's AD went on Feinbaum 2 weeks ago and put him on blast. A&M's gets blown out by any of their air quote perceived rivals, and that's Bama or LSU. They get stomped by those two teams. Not good. They play UCLA on the road this year in the Who's Going to Survive to 2018 Bowl.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, you still got to beat both Mississippi schools in the West and also not lose to, you know, the pig farmer in the West.
Man,
and then I don't know who their crossovers are. I don't know if they get Florida this year and Georgia this year. We'll get on that. So if I'm Josh Moore and my brother's looking at Texas now, he'd been an A&M guy, Jordan Moore, safety. Okay, bro's not maybe 1,000% in on A&M. Is someone going to be there? Is someone going to have a quarterback that I want throwing to me because they've ran off 4- and 5-star quarterbacks the last 3 years? Can someone deal with the pressure, and can they return to form and be a 9-win, 10-win football team? I have question marks about A&M. Florida State. Listen, I'm there. If I'm a wide receiver and they want me, I am there, because I know with Jimbo Fisher they're going to have an elite quarterback that'll play on Sundays. And they're going to have an offense that will showcase me. You're not far removed from already winning a national championship and be the class slash part of the group offensively that maybe takes things back away from Clemson. In the ACC, I mean, you can say a lot of things about it. You know, Pitt's not bad. Carolina's been pretty good. Miami's on the rise. Clemson's defending national champs. And then there's Florida State. And, I mean, Benjamin's kind of the recent wide receiver that comes to my mind of Florida State. Mm-hmm. But it's a no-brainer, man. If I want to go to something I trust and I've seen win at a super high level the last 4 or 5 years, I'm going to Florida State. Now, what's my competition level like? A bunch of me's there. I got to beat out. Not that Nebraska doesn't have talent, but from a playing time immediacy standpoint and a chance for an early impact where you will stick out like a sore thumb because of your ability, I think that's why Nebraska can win out. I mean, practically, if I want a chance at a championship and a program that's further along and that's locked in on New Year's Day sixes, Florida State's it. That's where I'm going. Mm-hmm. But if I want a chance to come in and play and maybe help change and trust that things are going to be good at quarterback for Nebraska, then that's how Nebraska wins out. But if that's your choice, and the deal maker here is Keith Williams. That's who I want coaching me. That's who I think can make me better. That's who NFL guys come back to see. End of discussion, ball game. I'm staying with Nebraska. I mean, I think that's my shell game I'm playing in my mind right now if I'm this recruit. And it's kind of fun to switch shoes with people, right? Mm-hmm. Let's be a 6'4 stud wideout.
Yeah.
And look at it from radio boy's point of view.
Yeah, just to follow up from earlier, crossover games for A&M, home South Carolina at Florida.
Okay. I mean, that ain't cool.
And I came away impressed with Kevin Sumlin when he was on the coach's room during the national championship.
He's awesome.
He definitely can talk, but he's got to be able to produce.
No, and that's the thing. It's like he's a victim of his own success because he walked in with just a boatload of NFL talent that Sherman left him, went 11-2, beat Bama, used that leverage for 5.2 a year. And they've been 8-5 ever since. This is a good story from Brian Christofferson on another local product that'll be at Friday Night Lights, Masary Mapew. He's obviously the kid that's 300-pound defensive tackle. He's the defensive lineman Nebraska has offered, and they've got a commitment from him. He's really good. I mean, I like that. He's an early guy, Nebraska guy, and on Coach Perella did from York.
Yep.
But here's what's new news to me, and this is from the Journal Star. He is going to be at camp tonight, which is good. He's staying loyal to Nebraska, but his head coach, Coach Glenn Snodgrass, I mean, you have some of the who's who after Masary. UCLA, in contact. They want to talk to him. Michigan, all over him. Alabama has not offered, but Alabama making a lot of phone calls. This, again, according to Brian Christofferson's story, Journal Star, about Masary Mapew from York. And, you know, Florida State's also got some interest, making some phone calls. I mean, good on Perella in Nebraska, A, for finding an in-state kid that's three bills and they can project at nose guard. Mm-hmm. But being there that early, a year ago, to get it, when he was first at Friday Night Lights. But now, look how early and right you were. Now you've got, I mean, you have Michigan, you have Florida State, you have Bama, you have UCLA wanting this kid to check him out.
Yeah, we had Snodgrass on the following morning, that Saturday morning show, and he was just very complimentary to the Husker staff, you know, already hopping on this kid because they already saw something special in him. Mm-hmm.
So that's good news that Masary is going to be there tonight. Garrett Snodgrass, 2019 tight end, going to be there tonight. at Friday Night Lights, just to continue running it down, and can find the list here, HailVarsity.com, some other players. And per social media, you have Hayden Connor. He is a 2021 prospect at tackle, offensive tackle. So he's going to be a freshman. And I know I went nuts a couple days ago about freshmen. Miami has already offered this kid. He is 6'7", 270 already.
As a freshman?
Yes, going into his freshman year.
Holy moly.
So he is... He has put out on Twitter, Hayden Connor has.
That's LeBron.
Yeah, at offensive tackle.
My God.
He's 6'7", 270, and Miami's like, yeah, come on down,
holy
son.
Crap.
This kid out of Katy, Texas. So he'll be at camp tonight, and Jake Sistler also is going to be there at Big Man Camp. He's out of Salina, Oklahoma. So those are some of the names to be listening for and paying attention to. And the story about Mapew from York is pretty cool. And Nebraska obviously likes him, what he's done. But the fact that some of the other blue bloods of college football are all over him at defensive tackle, good on Nebraska for locking him up a year ago. Bill Dolman, the pride of Fairbury, is coming up. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Plenty more on recruiting coming up. Friday Night Lights, Big Red Weekend, rendition numero uno this summer. And we'll get caught up with Cedric Golden, get his thoughts on Ed Orgeron and Texas throwing rocks at one another. The Smoker giveaway in less than an hour. And author of the book Fly the W, Gary Cohen, coming up on Hail Varsity Radio. So welcome in the pride of Fairbury at Bill Dolman, the pride of NBC Sports. Billy D is here. College World Series weekend. Billy D, how are you, sir?
You know, things are going fairly well. No complaints whatsoever, other than some idiot giving a college scholarship offer to an 11-year-old.
Yeah, about that. I lost my mind because Nebraska offered an 8th grader this week.
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, 8th, soon to be 9th. Okay. Now, to be fair to Nebraska, the kid is 6'3 and can jump out of the gym. But
okay.
But it could be Kramer versus the karate class, too. I don't know. I mean, he is 6'3 in, you know, going into 9th grade. So Nebraska did that, but they haven't done the 5th grade thing yet, which is good, I guess.
Look, I've been stewing about this pretty much all week, okay?
And talking about Kiffin.
Is that who did it? I don't know who did it. Somebody gave the kid, an 11-year-old kid, a college, you know, offer.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that was astounding about it was the Twitter acknowledgement that he got it, whether I'm sure it's his family, his dad, or somebody, LeVar Ball Jr., is, you know, tweeting out, pleased to get a college scholarship offer from, I don't know, was it Lane Kiffin? I don't know.
Looks,
I
mean, like University of Hawaii.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Hawaii did it. Yeah, and the parents acknowledge it on Twitter. I'm like, you got to be freaking kidding me. A fifth grader. Look, we all had a kid in our class that was shaving in fourth grade, right? We all had the guy.
He had gorilla legs.
A little deeper than everybody else. But by the time sophomore year rolled around, everybody had caught up and passed.
And he was bald.
I mean, it's unbelievable to me that there is not some...
rule?
There's not some outrage or ruling that the NCAA is saying, look, let these kids grow up. And, you know, we've talked about it on this show for a million years, but in the last few weeks, how everybody's jacked about Nebraska's 2018 recruiting class. And I said, there's going to be two, three, four of them that are going to all of a sudden change their mind because they got an extra couple of dates to the prom. And lo and behold, Ohio State comes in, puts out a little bit, and guess who's going to the prom with Canal, right?
That's a good analogy. They got it ideal fashion
down at the Fairbury Square.
That's a good analogy.
Mom and Dad got some money to go to Victoria's Secret, and that's what she's wearing to prom, and all of a sudden, that's where I'm going to go. So you're, this whole thing about what the class of 2018 looks like, yet right now, I'll bet you there are five kids who have committed to Nebraska right now that don't have Nebraska addresses that won't be in the class when it signs in February. Nebraska's out poaching people. Mm-hmm. It happens. And people don't care about recruits until, oh, did Nebraska recruit this kid? Well, we better get on him.
That's kind of what's happening. I mean, case in point, Masri Mapew, York player, and he's a kid that's from Egypt that's now in York, and he is kind of your prototypical nose guard, and Perella was in on him super early, and Nebraska got an offer and a commit last year, and he's back at camp this year. Well, Alabama's calling the kid, Florida State's calling the kid, UCLA's checking him out. Who else did I miss? Michigan is in on him. So the other side of this sword is if you spot a kid that's talented and he's on the line of scrimmage specifically, you just better be early, and it looks like Nebraska's right. I mean, they are, I'll give them credit, they are taking their time with evaluation, and they're a couple of years ahead of schedule where you're going after kids that are sophomores heading into their junior year versus all the time waiting on senior film. It's just, I know it drives you nuts. It's shifted, though, man. That's just what it is. It's just how it is.
Well, and then Nebraska, and the story was last week that they told some kid, what, in Omaha, a defensive lineman, sorry, we don't have a scholarship for you.
He's a Southeast kid here in Lincoln.
Okay. Well, why not? Because why would you say that now?
I don't think they have room. It's a numbers thing.
Yeah, but what happens when somebody leaves? Somebody who's in the program that was coveted in the class of 15 or 16, he leaves because he's not getting the playing time or wasn't as good as they thought he was going to be, right? Or you've got a commitment from a kid for 18 or even 19, or apparently for the class of 2022. But right now you're going to say, you know what, we don't have a spot for you at that specific position because we have commitments from a guy that we think might follow through with their commitments and might turn out as good as we think they are. But we're not quite sure, but we're going to roll the dice and say, you can't come to Nebraska. We're not going to recruit you. I don't quite understand that when you see how many guys leave the program in the off season, whatever the case might be, and how many guys leave their commitment behind because somebody prettier walked down the street. I don't understand. I mean, maybe the kid's not, you know, as good, and it's an easier call than what was made out to be. You know, it sounded like, well, we got Tommy Frazier's interested in coming to Nebraska, and he lives across the street, goes to Southwest, but we already got a kid committed for the class of 2019, so we're not going to take him. Maybe we're talking about Matt Jones or Todd Gragnano. Okay, look, you're not going to play here regardless. I get that. But the headline certainly reads that we're too good to take a kid across town.
See, and that's...
And this whole thing is getting so far out of control around the country, and unfortunately we're caught up into it. But it's something where you cannot give an offer to a fifth grader or an eighth grader. To me, it's asinine.
It's a different world. Bill
Not
Dolman,
that I have an opinion on it.
No, the Pride of Fairbury. Bill Dolman with us here on Hail Varsity Radio at Bill Dolman. NBC Sports is Bill Dolman. Bill, I want to shift gears, and you've seen quite a bit of college baseball this summer, and you've had a chance to see TCU. They're back for a fourth straight trip to Omaha. Oregon State dealing with some stuff, obviously. And then you have kind of the sentimental favorite, A&M, with Coach Childress coming back. Coach Bolt coming back, Logan Foster, a Southwest product that is down there at Southwest, a freshman All-American now at A&M. You don't have to nail it, LSU with their offense and their pitching. Do you have a lean or a feel on the CWS gets underway this weekend?
Well, I think going into the tournament, I think Oregon State was probably your odds-on favorite. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed that they've gotten this far.
Yeah.
I thought maybe they'd lose in their regional, given the those are some awful headlines.
Yeah, the news.
And I think that's going to cloud them, be a cloud on them for the most part. Although, you know what? People in Omaha and in Nebraska, they're going to embrace them. I don't think you're going to hear cat calls and all that kind of stuff. But I think at some point that's going to hit that team, that they carried some adrenaline through their super. But maybe it's going to hit them that they've been through a lot, and just to keep going for 10 days, I don't like their chances near as much as I did when it was conference tournament season. I'm impressed by TCU. That what they've been able to do without Luke and Baker, if they have a healthy Luke and Baker, their first baseman, who is just a behemoth of a guy, he's a Paul Bunyan looking dude and a great team player. I would have said, they were number one at the beginning of the season. They're the number one team right now, and they should win it all. That's how good that kid is and how much different he makes their lineup. So to get where they are is a testament to where that overall program is. That Jim, who's a great guy, Jim Schlossnagel's a wonderful guy, that now it just perpetuates itself, and they just flat out believe that they can do it, even though arguably the best player in the country is out.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like their chances. I like their pitching. I like what Brian Howard has done lately. I love LSU going back to Omaha just because for the last, 20 or 30 years, they've really, I think LSU people have been at the heart as to why it's special to play the College World Series in Omaha. I mean, they would come when their team didn't qualify.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they were great ambassadors for the College World Series, for the experience. I think I have a soft spot for LSU baseball and Skip Bertman because I think they really showed why they embraced there and why it should never leave Omaha. And the Warren Moore stuff and all that. So I don't think they're going to win it. I hope TCU does. Rob Childress and Texas A&M, you mentioned him. I don't think he's fully appreciated for the job that he's done there. And to be honest with you, I wonder if there were some whispers that if they didn't make it to the tournament, which there was some question, they were kind of a bubble, as I recall, going in.
They started horribly. Yeah.
Right. So they were kind of a bubble going into selection Sunday or Monday. And it was kind of like, if Oklahoma State wins the Big 12, is Texas A&M one of those teams that's not going to get in?
But they're 41-21, for God's sake. And they finished at 500. They started out 0-5 in the SEC,
right.
And they took 2 out of 3 from LSU. So, I mean, they got hot when they needed to. But, I mean, you get A&M a lot more than I do. We got about a minute here. But A&M's a pretty tough place to coach and win, isn't it?
Absolutely. They think a lot more highly of themselves than they really should. You talk about a classic underachiever in total. That's really that whole program, especially now that Bill Byrne's gone. I think Rob was probably there. I'm sure that I'm not there down there in Houston mm-hmm. anymore, so I'm not as privy to, the hot seats in Texas as I once was. But I'll bet you when that season started and they started the way they did, it was like, we got to get rid of this guy. And lo and behold, he makes it to the College World mm-hmm. Series. And, that might quiet some people, but if they start, what is it, if they have a bad start next year, who knows? I think this bought him some goodwill and some time, and I'm really happy for him because I think he's a class guy too, and you love the Husker connections. I don't think they're going to win it, but I sure would love to see TCU just because that is a great program. It's of the way you build it. They've done it right. They got the right guy. There's just so much to like about TCU baseball, and so I'll be cheering for them because Jim's a friend, and they've a couple years ago they were the darlings, and now they know how to win there.
Bill, we'll catch up with you next week, brother. Thanks so much.
Track and field from Stockholm, Sweden.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Big thanks to Bill Dolben, the pride of Fairbury, with us. Last segment, Gary Cohen, author of Fly the W, Cubs book from the 2016 championship season coming up. Cedric Golden on the way, Friday forecast, plenty of recruiting thoughts your chance at the smoker. We'll give that away around 5:20 tonight. We'll qualify one more lucky contestant before the hour is up. Okay, there are moments in your life where you have to act. Just blown away, frustrated, angry. You have to fake outrage in your life. Case in point, oh shoot, I can't go travel to see my in-laws for the holidays because of the weather. You have to absorb her pain. When really at home, you're high-fiving yourself between your ears. No, that's awful, honey. Sweet. James Bond marathon. Bull week. Okay, there's just points like that. Sorry, Junior, you got cut from the team. No more travel. You weren't going to play anyway. And then there's instances where you have the school of thought per George Costanza. It's not a lie if you believe it.
That's right. That's right.
It's not a lie if you believe it. Without further ado, I bring you Rick Pitino and his outrage, his frustration, cut four, his defense of his program at Louisville.
One person does not determine the worth of what we're all about as a program, because we do it the right way. We do the right things. For 4 years, this never happened. All the security people never saw anything. All the managers never saw anything. And where the committee got it wrong is they thought this was a big fraternity, and it's not. It's not at all. This was hidden at the hours of the morning that nobody could possibly find out about.
You've read his comments. You got to hear it for yourself. So am I supposed to take from you that if we were doing this, we'd have done it more than once? Running a brothel, ten grand for 22 times. They have vacated the national championship. They have vacated wins. They have been suspended. They, being Coach Pitino, been suspended. Listen, you hire a bag man or a guy who knows a guy on your basketball staff to get things done. And you're not breaking ground. You're not unique and new. You're doing what everyone else is probably doing in the world of college basketball recruiting. Don't have proof, allegedly. But you just didn't think this up on yourself. Ooh, kids turning 17, 18 years of age like good-looking women. Let's offer them some.
I just can't believe that he thinks, you know, this stuff never
it's
got
just
on
one guy.
This never got on
it
social
happened
media.
Happened in the wee hours of the morning.
People on campus didn't see it. Well,
the wee hours of the morning, like when you close a restaurant and have a party on the buffet table.
Yeah. And even if they maybe did see it, they may not report it because they know how important Louisville basketball is to the college. But apparently this was pretty common knowledge among recruits reading the reports.
Yeah.
They knew that this was going on.
Hey, Louisville's offered me. We're going on an official.
Yeah.
Don't want to go there. Don't care about the track. But my, oh my, Cardinal pride. More from Pitino. And he is adamant, cut five, about their responsibility with student athletes. Again, fake outrage, or do you believe him?
We are all responsible for the actions of our players. And there were parts there that we totally disagree with, and that's why we will appeal it. This is a matter of, in every department, someone did the wrong thing, and he must be held accountable for it. But that has nothing to do with security going forward with parents.
So mom and dad, trust me, it won't happen again. Really, really trust me. We're not going to get, I'm not going to be able to keep my job if this happens a second time. It's a miracle I kept my job that this happened a first time. And we got caught. When it comes to responsibility, that's what he's trying to sell right now. He has ran guys off for years who get injured or hurt. He has ran guys off that can't help him immediately. And he's a guy that...
And he's also run from situations like the Boston Celtics. When that went poorly.
He got paid. He resurrected Kentucky and then went and got paid, and he's gone to Kentucky's arch rival. He's about the only guy in the world who can pull that off, by the way. But with Pitino here, more about it here, when it comes to punishment. He is outraged at the punishment. Cut six, Slick Rick.
We are devastated by the news. We are, all of us are. But that being said, moving forward, we believe we will win the appeal because it's right and it's just. None of us do not feel extreme remorse, regretting everything that what went on inside that dormitory. We've said that many, many times. But this is over the top. It's to the point where it's not even conceivable what I just read.
How about it's not conceivable that you'd think you can keep your job, and you do keep your job for this happening?
Yeah. Five games? That's a slap on the wrist.
Well, how about the point of contention that it's right and just that this will be appealed and it'll be stripped away, no pun intended, the charges and the ruling? He's out. There's no fake outrage. He's pissed.
He
at all get out that they're busted at this magnitude. More from Pitino. He's lost faith.
I'm going to put all my faith and all my beliefs in the appeals committee that they will do the right things for the university, for the players, and for everyone else. Not only is it unjust, unfair, over the top severe, but I've lost a lot of faith in the NCAA.
First of all, how do you have any in them?
Yeah.
Okay? They maybe got you right, but for the most part, they screw up most of their opportunities. So, in one hand, he's saying, yeah, I'm gonna put my faith in the appeals process. And because they actually did punish us something severely, I've lost faith in the NCAA. But the final message from Slick Rick yesterday, let's all sit back and just soak it in, is leadership.
We are just as disappointed in what went on as the committee was, but we did not deserve any of this at all. And we will fight every single bit to the end, and we will move forward because that's what leaders do.
Aha. Uh-huh. That's what leaders do. We didn't deserve it. We're shocked by it. Isn't their budgets approved? If you pay $10,000 over a four-year period of 22 showings, how do you expense that to your athletic director? Entertainment?
Yeah. I'm not sure. Probably.
Do you make them fill out a 1099 independent contractor work? Okay, let's get you signed up with HaleVarsity.com. Caller 5 right now, a 6-month online subscription for you to HaleVarsity.com. The gift that keeps on giving right there. Great weekend for recruiting and inside info there for you with HaleVarsity.com. Caller 4. Caller 5 right now, a 6-month online subscription for you to HaleVarsity.com. 466-3776. 466-3776. Toll free 800-825-5865. Caller 4. Caller 5 now. The ultimate online fan experience, premium forum, and a passionate fan base for you, and enjoy it for 6 months with us at HaleVarsity.com. Caller 4, Caller 5, 466-3776.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
25 minutes away, we will give away the Smokin' Hot Dad Smoker and the Leon's Gourmet gift card and gift basket for you ahead of Father's Day weekend. Your chance to qualify one final time momentarily. Gary Cohen of the Vine Line and Fly the W. Great book on the Cubs coming up in 10 minutes. Cedric Golden next hour, and then Klausburn with the College World Series forecast. Sauter Heyman, here's my forecast. Clear, beauty, and bling. Huh? How about Pure Grown Diamonds with Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer? We think of diamonds all weekend. College World Series. Go see some real ones. The Pure Grown Diamonds grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. But they have all the characteristics of earth mined diamonds. And many customers think they're much more beautiful. Can see why and see how. 10 to 40% less also than traditional earth mined diamonds. And go see Sauter Heyman this weekend as to why Pure Grown Diamonds have become some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Hammond history. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island. You can log on, sauterhammond.com. So are you ready, Tej? I mean, how's the selection hand?
It's good. Did a little lifting earlier.
You a righty or a lefty?
I'm ambidextrous a little bit, so really? I'm going to go with the right.
All right. So, an amazing listener with ESPN and Hale Varsity and Greg and Smith will be polled.
Mm-hmm. And they will need a call back to claim their prize.
Ooh. So, you mean you just got that smoker loaded up in your back seat and you're just like, this is mine?
No, we got to give it to a listener. It's here.
Okay.
They'll pick it up here, right, along with all the gift baskets and gift cards.
See, and just to remind you, it's not just that you get a smoker valued at $550. It's an electric one. But how about the hookup from Leon's? If you haven't had a steak from Leon's, I'm sorry, but hopefully that'll be fixed. The $250 gift card will buy lots of steaks. Also, the gift basket has rubs, has spices, has wood chips, has wood planks, and a steak certificate. So, without further ado, let's qualify one more lucky listener on Hail Varsity.
Hey, can one of your weathermen come over here and comment on the meat while I'm cooking it?
Yeah, I got it.
Man alive, there's nothing better than a hamburger grilled to perfection.
Yeah, don't flip them too often now. You don't want to lose your juices.
Caller 9 now at 402-466-ESPN is instantly qualified to win a brand new smoker this Friday from ESPN 1480.
Smoking! Caller 9 makes it happen and qualifies one final time for the Smokin' Hot Dad Smoker. A line open for you at 800-825-5865 or 466-3776. Caller 9, right now, as we'll get you qualified for the Smoker, the Smokin' Hot Dad giveaway. A smoker on Father's Day is, listen, I'll be honest with you, I lived that dream 2 years ago from Junior and Mama. And there's nothing better than a smoker. Home football weekends, road football weekends, Sunday dinner. You have the neighbors over. They may hate you, but they'll soften up because of this. Caller 9, 800-825-5865, 466-3776. Qualify now.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Roll, beat, beat.
Roll, beat, beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Hour 2, great to be back with you. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, as we'll get caught up with Cedric Golden, Boston American Statesman, some recruiting thoughts, big weekend for Nebraska. As we talk summertime, and it is baseball season, tremendous writer and editor of the Cubs Vine Line magazine and part of the Cubs, and just a great book for all Cubs fans to check out, Fly the W. We welcome in Gary Cohen with us on Hail Varsity. Gary, thanks for taking a few minutes. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it. Well, just I'm going to put my cards on the table here. I am probably a best-known lapsed Cubs fan.
Oh, bad timing on your part.
Well, no kidding, right? I mean, and I go back to, like, my honeymoon where it's game six and it's you got the lineup with Pryor and Wood and Zambrano and it's – it's all there, and it doesn't happen. We don't need to go into detail about Game 6 and how Moises Alou reacted. But listen, growing up, man, I was lucky enough to go to Wrigley probably 20, 25 times with my family, just going to Chicago for trips. And the Cubs were a huge part of my life, and they won it last year, and it's awesome. And your book really does a great job of painting that picture. Take us through what was on your mind to start this project and seeing it through all the way to the World Series.
Well, we wanted to know, I mean, obviously, as you know, as a lapsed Cubs fan, you know, it's been 108 years, or had been 108 years since they'd won a title, which I think safely say that will never happen again in the history of sports. So we knew if the Cubs were to win, we wanted to do something to commemorate the occasion. So, you know, as the season went on and they were doing better and then they locked down the postseason, we started thinking about doing a book. We collaborated with the Cubs the whole way through, talking about whether we want to try to do this. And because I'm the editor of the magazine as well, myself and my team, we've been collecting content all year with kind of a half an eye to, well, if something were to happen, we might want to have some content. And then obviously when they went through the whole run and ended up winning, we jumped on as fast as we possibly could. One of the things we tried to do that is a little bit different because it had been so long and this was such a monumental achievement for the Cubs is we tried to cover the entire scope of what happened. So we actually start the book in 2011 when Tom Ricketts and Theo Epstein teamed up and kind of talk a little bit about how this team was built. And then we really dive into the season and we take you from spring training where Joe Maddon released the embrace the target mantra that the team really latched onto, and then take you through the first half, the All-Star break, all the way through the World Series. So we cover the whole season really well. And it's one of the things we wanted to do is give you a wider scope because, again, this was such a huge achievement for the Cubs.
Gary Cohn with us, author, Hail Varsity Radio, Fly the W, a book you need to check out if you're a baseball fan, specifically if you're a Cubs fan, and the official 2016 championship season, Fly the W. It's a coffee table book. It's about 300 pages, but if you're like me and you're a sports fan, and if you're like us at Hail Varsity, the yearbook we talk about, you keep it out there year-round. And it's a book that you need to think about, and Father's Day is around the corner, so better late than never getting the correct gift. And Gary, let's spend a little bit more time here. Knowing the Cubs like you do and of covering them, what was your, I guess, timeline on making a championship happen? What was your thoughts? Let's go back to when Ricketts and Epstein teamed up. Did you think it would happen this soon?
I don't know. I never put a timeline on it. I will say, you know, when Ricketts came on, one of his favorite things to say is he's not hiding the ball. He was very honest about what he was doing and what his plans, and, you know, he and Jed Hoyer and Jason McLeod and the whole team who put this together, what they were planning on doing with the team. So while it was a really hard time in 2012-13 when the team was really struggling, we kind of had an eye on the future and what was happening. And because, again, I'm the editor of the magazine, we were really focusing a lot on the minor leaguers, on the draft picks, on the guys that were getting through trades. And I started through the process to really believe in what the team was doing and the kind of guys that they were getting. Now, I mean, it's not hard to believe in what Theo Epstein's doing. He obviously has a history of doing this kind of thing and turning teams around. So he doesn't need me to validate him. But, you know, you started seeing these guys come into the organization, like be it Chris Bryant or under the radar trades, like getting Kyle Hendricks or when they drafted Kyle Schwarber. And, you know, you start to lay out the positions and think, well, okay, they're starting to build a team here. I don't know that I knew it was coming, but by the time 2015 rolled around, you could really see that there was a ton of momentum, that a lot of these guys that they had drafted and traded for were in fact panning out. It's always a risk, no matter how good a prospect is. Doesn't mean he'll be a good major leaguer, but it was clear that these guys were starting to pan out. So I think once 2015 came along and they made that run to the NLCS, I think everybody in the organization kind of had a feeling of it's going to happen. It's not a matter of, oh gosh, could the Cubs make it happen this time? I think we all kind of felt like, you know, it might not be this year, it might not be next year, but it's going to happen. They've got the right front office in place, they've got the right manager in place with Joe Maddon, and now they've got the right players in place. And these guys were so young, they really weren't daunted by the idea of the curse or 108 years. They were so young, they didn't care what happened in the 1990s or in 1984 or, you know, in 1935. None of that mattered to these guys. So I think we all did feel like, and probably it was naive to feel this way, but it kind of felt like it was a foregone conclusion that a championship would happen in the next couple of years.
Couple more minutes. Gary Cohn with us, Hail Varsity Radio, author, and a tremendous book, Fly the W, for Cub fans, and detailing the 2016 championship. Now, Gary, I've done a little research, and in this book, to me, what separates what you have from other kind of options out there, I mean, you have essays, writings from Billy Williams, from Rhino, Ryan Sandberg, from Ricketts, from Epstein, from players and personnel throughout the season. Take us through that a little bit, how you got the folks on the inside, in the dugout, in the clubhouse, to share their feelings and recollections of that championship season.
Right. It's really one of the things that separates this book, and one of the great things about being the official book of the Cubs. You know, for all the books that came out, this is the one that comes from the Cubs organization. So we actually didn't have to twist arms that much. We had such good cooperation from everybody throughout the Cubs. And again, it was such a big moment for everyone that they wanted to cooperate. So, like you said, we have letters from everybody from Theo Epstein to Tom Ricketts to Crane Kenny, the president of business operations, to former great players, to Pat Hughes, the radio broadcaster. And what we asked them to do, and again, each of them was really willing to do it, was just tell us what this meant to you. Was there a moment? Was there something that stood out to you? And so it ended up being these really personal memories that these people have of what it meant to them watching the series. Like Ryan Sandberg and Billy Williams both talked about how this was lifted a huge weight off of their shoulders, and how they felt like not only did the Cubs win a championship, but they finally won a championship as part of the Cubs. You know, Theo Epstein tells a great story about after Rajai Davis hit that two-run home run to tie things up in Game 7, mm-hmm. how shell-shocked he was, and he was going down to talk to the umpires about the weather during the rain delay, and he stopped by the weight room and heard of that team meeting that I'm sure people have heard about now, and how that totally turned around his thinking, and he walked away from listening to those players going, these guys are going to win. And, I mean, those sorts of moments, I think, make it really impactful, and it's great to see what this meant to people from the front office to the dugout, to, you know, everybody in the organization, to the broadcast booth. So we just had terrific cooperation from everybody on that.
Hey, Gary, I got a question for you for the current Cubs that are playing right now. Through 65 Absolutely. Games, they're a game under 500. With all the talent they have and getting somebody like Wade Davis, how shocking is it that they're under 500 right now?
Pretty shocking at this point. Yeah, I don't think anybody predicted they would be under 500, especially given it's a pretty weak NL Central this year. I think everybody just assumed that this team was going to run out to a huge lead like they did last year. But baseball is a funny game. I mean, it's hard to repeat from year to year. But one thing the Cubs have going for them is that they are in a weak division. You know, like you said, they're one game under 500, more than a third of the way through the season, and they're only 2.5 games out of first place. So if they put together a little run, they probably still take the NL Central. But they're just having a lot of inconsistency right now. They're having a lot of trouble moving guys, moving base runners when they have guys in scoring position with anything other than a home run. The pitching staff has been inconsistent, and obviously Kyle Hendricks is injured. They need to find some solution for the number 4 and 5 spots there. The bullpen, a lot of the pieces have been solid, but there's been some inconsistency there. So I think these guys will put it together. I think, you know, if they were in a tougher division like the AL West, or, you know, they'd be, or the NL West, honestly, they'd be in some trouble. But they're lucky to be in the NL Central where they're hanging in, but they definitely need to get things turned around fairly quick.
Gary Cohn with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Gary Cohn VL on Twitter. Also can check out his work, the Cubs Vine Line magazine, at Cubs Vine Line on Twitter. And his book is Fly the W. Can log on cubs.com/flythewbook. It's a coffee table book. It takes you through 2016 and the championship. If you're a Cubs fan, if you know someone, and you do, that's a Cubs fan, this is the book that details the championship run. Essays from former Cub greats, from the front office, from current players, and it's just tremendous, and it's something you'll be proud to show your friends, your buddies, and have on that coffee table. Last thought, Gary, is there an image from the book that will stick with you forever? Because I know the photography in this thing's beautiful.
There actually is. Yeah, the reason we have such great photography is we have Steve Green, who's been the team photographer since 1983. He's got access to everything. So he was in the celebration room with the team. He was in the dugout with the team. So that moment we talked about after Rajai Davis hit that Game 7 home run, And then thankfully the skies opened up and gave the Cubs that one full 17-minute reprieve. You know, Aroldis Chapman was the guy, the closer, was the guy who gave up the two-run home run. He went back out in the ninth, got the three out to get him into extra innings. But he was absolutely crushed that he had given up that home run and felt like he'd let the team down and then, you know, shed some tears over the moment. And there's a picture that Steve got, our photographer. It's a long shot of the dugout, and it's Aroldis Chapman sitting by himself watching the rain come down during that rain delay. And the team actually had to come out and get him, retrieve him for that team meeting to bring him back in and say, hey, man, we're going to pick you up. You got us to the 10th. We're going to make it happen. But that moment is such a personal moment. You really feel the pressure and the weight of what those guys were going through. And it's a shot I hadn't seen anywhere else. And the second I came upon it, I went, oh, man, that's what the drama of sports are all about.
Well, the Cubs got it done. And remember being out at a place here in town with a bunch of Cub fans. I was there to watch it. They were rejoicing. I can't jump on the wagon, but I smiled and was extremely happy for all the Cub fans. And thank you for doing the book, Fly the W. Gary Cohn with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Gary, we'll catch up again maybe later in the summer and talk some Cubs baseball. Thanks for sharing some time with us today.
I'd love to. It's a pleasure, and it's never too late to get back on the bandwagon.
Oh, I will probably. In good faith, I can't rock the new Cubs hat. I've got a 25-year-old Cubs hat that I can put on, but if you show up with it, even though it looks old and tattered, I've not been wearing it. You know, I just feel fake about it. But it was really awesome. I mean, really, truly cool to see the Cubs take care of business last year.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Gary, take care. Thanks again.
You too. Thanks.
Uh-huh. Gary Cohn with us on Hail Varsity Radio. That's true and honest and straight up from me.
That is.
No, seriously. I mean, Mark Grace, Jerome Walton, the 89 Cubs team. I mean, I was so PO'd that Will Clark and the Dodgers smoked them in 89.
Well, and I used to be a Cubs fan, too. I was Cubs and Royals.
I said, screw it. After 03...
That was tough. And then
literally, we're on our honeymoon. We're at a brewery bar in like Breckenridge somewhere. Like 3 days after we get married, and it's the Bartman game.
Oh wow!
I just lose my freaking mind.
Yeah, I think the final straw for me is getting rid of
that pitching staff.
Yeah,
God, that pitching staff was good.
They got rid of my favorite player, Zambrano.
Yeah, well, he's nuts.
Yes,
I love Kerry Wood. I liked Hector Villanueva. He's the fattest catcher you'll ever see in America. Mm-hmm. And he was Harry Carey screaming, "Run, Hector!" He legged out a triple one day. So, listen, I could go on and on about my love for the Cubs, but I can't in good faith say, hey, awesome, we won a title. Listen, there's no we. I divorced you. I'm not going to take it anymore. And I stopped. Okay, are we ready for the smoker giveaway, TJ?
I'm ready to draw.
Okay, do you hear TJ's hand wading through the box? We have a name pulled for the Smoking Hot Dad Smoker, the Southern County Stainless Steel Electric Smoker, valued at $544, plus the Leon's Gourmet Grocer gift card of $250, and the Leon's Goodies Basket. That includes rubs, spices, wood chips, wood planks, steak certificates. Who is it?
Nick Dawes.
Nick Dawes. Come on down. Nick Dawes, congratulations. I don't know if you're a smoking hot dad, but you do have a smoker. Congrats and thanks for listening. We love you.
Give us a call.
For tuning in to Hail Varsity and ESPN. One more time, the name.
Nick Dawes.
Nick Dawes. The smoker winner. Cedric Golden coming up.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back at it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's welcome in Cedric Golden, Austin American statesman, sports columnist, at Ced Golden on Twitter. And Ced knows a ton about, everything. Cedric, what's up? How's your summer, man?
Man, I guess it's about to slow down, Chris, man. No more NBA. I guess we're officially in the dog days. Just hoping some good sports events pop up out of nowhere, something besides baseball.
No, absolutely. College World Series just around the corner here this weekend up the road in Omaha. But, yeah, it's getting down to it. And the parade today for Golden State and Draymond Green was quite entertaining with his T-shirt. as a guy who has spent a lot of time around Kevin Durant, covered him when he was at Texas and has followed him, what's your reaction to when he won that championship this week? What was going through your mind?
I'm going to tell you, he earned it, Chris. And I was in the camp that had wished that Kevin had stayed at Oklahoma City and led the Thunder to a championship, because I grew up in that era, and I know you've probably seen parts of that documentary mm-hmm. with the Lakers and the Celtics. I grew up in an era where guys stayed with the teams that drafted them and tried to lead them to a championship. You know, Magic had to go through the Celtics, and the Celtics had to go through the Sixers, and then the Pistons had to go through the Celtics, and then the Bulls had to go through the Pistons. Those guys weren't jumping into bed together. So I was hoping that he would find a way to figure it out. You were up 3-1 on Golden State last year in the Western Conference Finals, so you were close to maybe winning a championship with OKC. But he made the move. He won. It turned out great for him. He was amazing the whole series. Averaged a triple double, and was the best player on his team. Props to Steph Curry for seeding a little bit of the alpha dog in him to allow Kevin Durant to fit in seamlessly. And it worked out for him. And I'll tell you this, Chris, in 10 years, Kevin Durant's probably going to have two or three championships, maybe more, and it won't be as big an issue him leaving OKC, because history remembers the winners, and he'll be regarded as one of the greatest to ever play. And now he's got that hardware to give him that affirmation that he was looking for.
You know, I've been around KD a couple of different times, but this was for KD basketball camp for my kids, so that's a different setting, different venue. Your time around him at Texas and your time around him in the NBA, word is he changed once he went to Golden State? Do you think that's accurate?
I'm going to tell you, he's not the innocent, always laughing and joking type guy he was here. I think some of the things that happened in OKC kind of jaded him a little bit, as regarding the media and perceptions about him. And I understand that. I will say that he's a grown man now, and Kevin Durant has a right to speak his mind. I don't think he's a bad guy. I think from what I know about Kevin, still a wonderful dude, but he's not as embraceable as he used to be. And maybe part of that comes with growing up and realizing that the media has a job to do and you have a job to do, and maybe we're not all friends in this thing. Some people work at cross purposes, so I can understand that part of it. I don't have any problems with Kevin. Respect him as a player. He's always been very polite to me. So I'm glad to see that he's enjoying some success in his new venture at Golden State. They'll win it again next year, barring injuries. He's going to have the second half of his career is going to be a lot more enlightening for him than the first half.
Cedric Golden with us, few minutes here, Hail Varsity Radio, Austin American Statesman, also co-host of the Second on Second Thought podcast. And Cedric, episode 61's posted up there. You had a chance to run down Lincoln Riley. What was your impressions with him and about the move the Sooners made?
Well, yeah, the On Second Thought podcast is on hook'em.com if you want to listen to it. Great 20-minute conversation with Lincoln Riley. We talked to him about We ask him, did he see this Bob Stoops leaving? Did he see it coming? And what were their conversations like to the pressure cooker that he's going to be in now?
Yeah.
As going from the offensive coordinator to the head coach of arguably the most powerful, one of the most powerful football programs in the country. So at the tender age of 33. So it's going to be really interesting. Bob Stoops won 10 Big 12 titles in like 18 seasons. That's big time. And that's a tough act to follow. No one likes to follow a legend, but for the money they're paying, I'm sure me or you would probably be happy to try to tackle that challenge. So Lincoln Riley's got a big job ahead of him. We had a great conversation with him. You should check it out.
Well, we'll do. Absolutely. Horns.com, Austin American Statesman, Cedric Golden with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Cedric, let's talk a little bit about LSU and Texas and not playing nice in the world of recruiting. three satellite camp visits have been kiboshed. Texas was supposed to be there. I think A&M was supposed to be at one. LSU does not want some of the programs like Texas or Texas A&M or surrounding areas even getting a look at kids they like. Ed Orgeron is going to defend Louisiana kids, as he put it, in spring. What's your reaction? I don't look at Ed Orgeron as a guy that's that's been ever afraid of a recruiting fight. That's what he's been known for.
He's a bulldog recruiter, you know, dating back to his days in Mississippi. And he's a tough guy, a tough-minded football coach, and who can blame someone for not being happy when Kentucky or you know, people like Texas are trying to come in to your backyard and cherry pick some of the best kids in the country? Belhaven coach Hal Mumme said that the political pressure from LSU led to the camp being canceled. They're not happy when other schools do it. You know, Jim Harbaugh is probably the Pied Piper of satellite camps. And, you know, I've never really been a fan of it, because they talk about college football not being a business, and then you look up and they're spending all this money to go on the road, travel, take your staff, and conduct camps, pay appearance fees, and all of that. It's a billion-dollar business, and the money is forcing these people to find different ways to try and get their hands on these plum recruits. And so the Belhaven, I read in the story where Hal Mumme, the Belhaven coach, and Hal Mumme's a legend in college football. He's the father of the spread offense. He said that they agreed to pay $500 for the use of the stadium to host the camp. And so to me, you know, it's Belhaven hosting it, but you knew that the Longhorns are going to be involved, and so for LSU to come out and pressure them into canceling the camp, I don't blame them one bit, because before you can take care of business on the road, you got to take care of business at home. And if another big dog is sniffing around in your backyard, I guess you got to go handle that. So I don't blame him for that one bit.
Is Herman going to be the next game changer when it comes to putting it all together, getting the talent? And we don't know what OU is going to be under Riley, but someone needs to step up in the Big 12. And Okie State's been really consistent. Baylor is what Baylor is right now, a mess. So is Texas... Are there a lot of teams, not just LSU, afraid of what Herman and Texas can do?
Well, I'm going to tell you, Tom Herman's not afraid of a fight. And I think he's been saying all the right things and doing all the right things, recruiting his butt off, and already a talented roster left behind by Charlie Strong. Mm. All those freshmen and sophomores that were playing with no experience are now are sophomores, juniors, and seniors. So they're going to be experienced. They've got talent coming in, and Tom Herman is a great offensive coach. The Big 12 is an offensive conference, and that was one of Charlie Strong's biggest failings. They were just never quite able to put up enough points in this conference, where you have Texas Tech and Baylor and Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, the most offensive conference in the country. So Tom Herman put up big numbers at Houston. We all know this is not Houston, but he's going to have enough talent at his disposal to make some noise come this season. Right now I've got them at about 8 wins. They play San Jose, Maryland, at USC in non-conference. I think they go 2-1. Sam Darnold's going to be great for USC this year. So I think they go 2-1 in that. And then after that, it's a crapshoot. It's the Big 12 conference. So I could see them going 2-1 in non-conference and like 6-3 in conference. So that's not bad. That's not bad, an 8-4 beginning. But I know there's some other people that think they're going to win more than 8 games. But I'm being a little conservative in my enthusiasm.
Said about 90 seconds here, not long enough, but Mayweather, McGregor, what's your reaction?
Oh, man, I wouldn't pay 2 cents to see that, Chris. I wouldn't.
So I can't roll down and visit and you and have it on in your living room?
Fan, you know I'm a boxing fan. Man, I don't want to see a giraffe fight a lion. I don't. Floyd Mayweather is the best defensive fighter of his generation. And Conor McGregor is a wrestler. He is not a boxer. MMA guys, how many MMA fights have you seen where one guy gets hit on the chin and it's over?
A lot.
Do you think Conor McGregor's not going to get hit on the chin 50 or 60 times in the first 3 rounds? It's up to Floyd how long this fight lasts. If Floyd wants to end this fight within the first 2 minutes, he can end it. But he'll extend it because he wants to get his $150 million. So, If you invite me over to your house and I happen to be in Nebraska, I may show up. I'm not guaranteeing it. I have zero interest in this farce of a promotion.
Said beer's free, ribs are free. There is a $5 to $7 cover depending on the population that comes into the Schmidt household. There's a cover.
Okay, I'll be there.
Right. Cedric Golden with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Ced Golden on Twitter, Austin American Statesman. Do yourself a favor, check out the On Second Thought podcast with Cedric on Hook'em.com. Cedric, we'll catch up again, man. Always love spending a few minutes with you. Thanks for the time, bud.
Okay, my friend. Take care.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Winding down a Friday, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. It is that time for the Friday forecast presented by the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling, and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, call the statewide helpline at 1-800-522-4700. Let's get rolling here on the forecast, a little College World Series forecasting and some recruiting. Brandon Vogel with us. Vogues, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing outstanding. Klausburn, are you still speaking to us? You lost a tight one last week with the spelling bee.
Well, clearly Brandon Vogel is becoming my Oklahoma. But until he can put away a bottle of bourbon like our good friend Barry, I think I still have a chance.
Well, we'll see who has a chance in Omaha, the road to Omaha College World Series. Let's start out, and the odds are out from Bovada, A&M at 14-1, Louisville 11-4, Oregon State and LSU both 3-1, Florida at 6-1, Florida State 7-1, TCU 7-1, and then Cal State at 12-1. That's some educational thought for all of us here, but the Saturday matchups tomorrow, Oregon State, Cal State, Fullerton. I know baseball is a little weird and wacky to try and predict, but we'll do Saturday, we'll do Sunday, and then we'll lean with who we think takes it all. I'm going to go first. I think Oregon State, they've been under a tremendous amount of pressure and questions, and Pat Casey's going to get his guys through it, I think, in this first game against Cal State, Fullerton. Both teams similar, both teams about being able to execute, move the runner, not relying on a ton of power, although Oregon State has more of it. I think Oregon State gets it done 5-2, and they move on in the winner's bracket to open up CWS play. Vogues, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm in sort of the same boat. I'm a little worried about Oregon State long-term, given everything they have going on, which is a shame because I think they're the best team in the tournament. And they'll get through this one okay. Just too deep overall. I'll take Beavers 3-1.
TJ.
Just to be fair to the audience, I haven't seen a single one of these teams throw a single pitch. With that being said, Cal State upsets the Beavs.
Okay, there we have it. Klausburn, your thoughts.
Well, Oregon State's been by far the most dominant team in college baseball this year. I think they've only lost 4 games, something like that. But this is the biggest stage under the brightest lights, and this is when the lesser team could come in overconfident and choke. But clearly Oregon State's not worried about that because they're not even bringing along their Heimlich. So I think the Beavers win this game by a score of 6-2.
Wow, there we go. LSU and Florida State, the nightcap. LSU's incredible. Power, 5 guys who hit over 315. Pitching, give me LSU in a thriller over Florida State, 6-4. And I like the Tigers on Saturday, Vokes.
Yeah, this matchup might feel like one from the Rosenblatt days, except for nobody can hit out of the park and it won't be 14-12. I'll take the Tigers as well, however, 5-2.
Okay. TJ.
I like the Tigers over Florida State, 7-2.
All right, Claus, Tigers or Seminoles?
Well, I agree with Brandon. This could be incredibly high scoring. I think this would have been a great finals matchup if the brackets had been different. They're a really similar team, so I had to dig a little bit deeper. And originally, I was all set to go with Florida State because I saw their coach was Mike Martin, who I thought used to drive in NASCAR with the number 6 Viagra car. So I figured he'd be an expert in getting the boys up for the big game. But then I found out that was Mark Martin. So I guess I'll go with the hometown favorite, LSU Tigers.
On Sunday, Louisville, the favorite per Vegas against the adoptive team for many Nebraska fans with Coach Bolt, Logan Foster, and, of course, Coach Childress, A&M, the long shot of the CWS. You know, I think it'd be awesome if A&M won. I don't think it happens. I think Louisville, too good, too much offense. 8-3, the Cards, and they need good news this week over A&M. Vokes.
Yeah, you know, A&M, their fan base is already crazy. You add in, though, as you mentioned, behind LSU, maybe they'll get a ton of hometown support. Got to take at least one upset in the first round, so this one is mine. Give me the Aggies somehow, 3-2.
Okay, there we go, folks. Teach.
Gig 'em over Louisville, 8-0.
That's expert analysis based on statistical review and how hot a team is coming in. A&M's won 5 in a row, I know, but TJ, I just love it. You're just like, let's just throw it at the dartboard. Klausburn?
The best co-host in the league for nothing, folks.
Thank you. Klausburn, what do you think?
Well, I admit I really don't know a whole lot about either squad other than the A&M coach's connection to Nebraska that you mentioned earlier, so I decided to make my pick based on characteristics and what kind of business I think these two schools might be most similar to. So I had to choose whether I'd rather go into Heaven's Gate or a brothel owned by Rick Pitino. And that ended up being a much harder choice than you would think it would be. But then I realized Rick Pitino's brothel might have a pretty good chicken parmesan. So I'm going to take Louisville in this one. But it'll be a close game, something like 5-3, and Louisville comes in late.
Florida TCU, give me the Horned Frogs, just because they've been there the last 4 years. I think they get into the winner's bracket, Vogues.
Yeah, I like TCU a lot, but this Florida pitching staff's pretty tough to deal with. I'll take the Gators in the opening round, 6-4.
Teach.
Horned Frogs over Gators, 2-1.
All right. Claus, do you like the Gators or the Horned Frogs?
Well, I've seen TCU in person a couple of times, and they've got a really talented catcher. They're a really, really good club, some good pitching as well. But they are the Horned Frogs, and If the pictures are to be believed, the Florida Athletic Department isn't even afraid of sharks.
Yeah.
So I'll take the Gators in this one by a score of 4-2.
All right, 90 seconds here. Vogues, Joshua Moore goes where?
I think you can toss Florida State. Things down between A&M and Nebraska. Brett fans will be happy on Sunday, but only be happy proportional to how unhappy you'd be if a decommit comes later. I think the recruiting process is going to continue past this quote-unquote decision day.
I think you nailed it. I think Nebraska gets the battle. We'll see who wins the war, Teach.
Yeah, he's going to break Greg Smith's heart. He's going to go to A&M.
Eventually, like this weekend, you think?
Yep.
Okay. Claus, high-profile wideout between A&M and Nebraska. Where are you leaning?
Well, Nebraska may have invented Kool-Aid, but A&M's the one that figured out how to mix it really strange. So I'll take the Aggies to get this commit.
There he is, Clausburn. Claus, thanks for your time, brother.
Okay.
Vogues, you be good.
Will do.
All right. The Friday forecast brought to you by the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling, and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, please call the statewide helpline, 1-800-522-4700. We'll say goodbye next. Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to hailvarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. I still believe you have time because the offer expires on June 16th. For the Hail Varsity Magazine for a year and a calendar, the price $29.95. Inquire about it, 855-3-HUSKER, hailvarsity.com/subscribe. But if you want to get Father's Day done right, can do so with Hail Varsity. We'll call our five now. TJ's like, we have more tickets to give away.
Yeah, forgot about them.
Four VIP tickets to the Salt Dogs for Sunday. So, you want to take dad, or you want to be the awesome dad?
It's
Monday.
Yeah,
sorry.
No,
well, an afterthought Father's Day then. Monday, Salt Dog Baseball, as homestand starts up tonight. But a VIP family four-pack for Monday. Caller 5-466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865, caller 5 right now. I will be, I think, in Grand Island for Father's Day, but I wish my father an amazing Father's Day. Love you much. Same with Grandpa. And spend time with Dad if you can this weekend, or if you are a father, congrats on that with just you and your family. Soak up the family and enjoy them for that special day on Sunday. TJ will take your call if you're caller five now for those Salt Dog tickets. A lot of father-son things come to mind. Baseball, Husker games, and barbecuing, having that talk. That talk the first time Oklahoma breaks your heart. I don't know if you had that talk. I had that talk. Preparing you for the worst. But, no, busy one today. Bill Dolman, thanks to Billy D., Pride of Fairbury and NBC Sports for joining us. Gary Cohen of the Vine Line and the Fly the W book out for Cub fans. Cedric Golden was awesome. Thoughts on Ed Orgeron and LSU v. Texas. And then the forecast with Clausburn. You can't ever really go wrong with that. Tomorrow, the weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio. We will get caught up. Mark Kranak, myself, TJ Henning. We are back at 7 a.m. We'll talk some recruiting, some reaction tonight to tonight's Friday Night Lights and edition numero one of, or numero uno of, the Big Red Weekend. So Kranak and I will have some thoughts on that. Our conversation with Will Bolt, former Husker, current assistant to Texas A&M. And also we'll run down Brandon Vogel and Gary Sharp. So just a busy one tomorrow. And join us if you're out and about or out getting coffee tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. with the weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio. You missed today or you missed parts of this week. Good stuff, as always, from Jay Moore on Wednesday and good stuff from Coach McBride on Monday. The podcast is always there for you. Take us with HailVarsity.com, the podcast, or iTunes. Subscribe to that. It don't cost nothing. Or the ESPN 1480 app has the podcasts posted. Take care. Enjoy Father's Day. And thank you for tuning in. Thanks for listening to Hail Varsity Radio. Back at you tomorrow morning, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.